This is a Hot Pie Media original.
This podcast is brought to you by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating with them in under 48 hours. Now, this is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional therapy done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist, and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you don't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you do a traditional therapy. Visit BetterHelp.com/gray. That's BetterHelp.com/gray, G-R-A-Y, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. Special offer to Gray Area listeners. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/gray. That's BetterHelp.com/gray. Hey, guys. I have an important message for every man setting a fitness goal in 2022. Listen, going to the gym is hard. And going to the gym and not seeing any improvement is even harder. If your hormone levels are out of whack or declining, you're going to have a more difficult time building muscle. This is why I'm excited to share today's sponsor with you, Let's Get Checked. Let's Get Checked is the leader in at-home testing. Here's how it works. You simply go to their site, order the male hormone complete testing kit, and it arrives at your door in a small, discreet package. Nobody's going to know what it is. The mailman, your neighbors, snoopy, nosy people, they're not going to know what it is. All right? It comes in a discreet package. From there, you do a small finger prick and send the sample back to their lab with a prepaid shipping label that they supply. In 2 to 5 days, you're going to get your results completely online. If necessary, a nurse will then contact you for a consultation over the phone. I think every man in this audience, in my audience, in the gray area metasphere, should consider Let's Get Checked's male hormone complete test. It is the perfect kit to get a comprehensive look at your male hormone levels. You'll get a look at your testosterone levels, SHBG, free androgen index, estradiol, cortisol, and prolactin. A LGC physician will review your results, and their dedicated team of nurses are available 24/7 and will call you to explain your results. Their labs are CLIA approved and CAP accredited, which are the highest levels of accreditation. And the entire process is HIPAA compliant, which means your data is never shared with anyone. Stop guessing what your levels are and don't let your hormones hold your progress back this year. Get tested and get 30% off at trylgc.com/gray30. Again, that's trylgc.com/gray30 and get 30% off your entire order.
Welcome to the Gray Area. Here's your host, Aaron Cheadle.
You went from Paramount recording Pigeon Confetti.
Yeah.
And that experience, Paramount Theater, big fucking name.
Yeah.
300-seat spot. And now you run comedy shows out of your house.
Yeah.
How did that start, bro?
So, you know, after the Paramount, I have no idea what to do with my career. So I was just like hitting the mics again and just doing shows around town. And then I started running shows. I ran a show at Fallout Theater.
Mm-hmm. Santa Cruz?
Santa Cruz for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I built a stage at my house, like, before the pandemic. I was doing a weekly mic there. So, you know, I kind of shut it down during like the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Santa Cruz, right? I ran Santa Cruz for like half a year, yeah. I would say. So after that, I was like, you know what? I'm going to chill for a bit. And then I was looking for a spot, and none of them have like the split that I wanted, like the ticket split. So mm-hmm. like, you know what? I'll do it at my house. So
what even convinced you though to build a stage in your house?
I remember so my dad convinced me to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to buy a house. I was just stuck in the mind state of doing stand-up comedy. I didn't want to do anything else, right? I don't want to spend money on a house. Like, what the fuck, right? I was living in a duplex down in 183 McNeil area.
Yeah.
Kind of like near Cedar Park-ish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I was just living there with roommates and stuff, like a typical stand-up comedian.
Right.
Living with roommates, crazy-ass roommates. And then my dad kind of like talking to my head, like, buy a house, right? So I went, I checked out a couple of houses. And I just want to buy one to make them happy. So I was going to go with like a one-story house down in like Pflugerville Lake or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it didn't went through because the house got bought by somebody else. So I went see some other houses. And when I saw this house I have now, I was like, oh, shit, that spot right there on the wall is great for a stage.
Oh, so when you got the house, you were already thinking that.
Yeah, I was thinking that, but I didn't build a stage right away. So after I bought a house, right, I was working at a car center job, like in that area on Howard. I was doing like customer support on the phone and shit. One day I just woke up. I was just feeling miserable. Like I didn't want to go work.
Yeah.
So I just called and said, hey, I quit. After that, I built a stage at my house.
No shit. You just said, fuck it, I'm out.
Yeah.
And just started. Making a stage.
Yeah, I make a stage. And the first show I threw there was like a housewarming party. And it was lit. It's like about 30 people showed up. Nando performed. Brian Bogart, DJ Collins, and Trace Holt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so after that, I was like, okay, I could do a show at my house and it could be lit. Yeah, but I was running open mic. So like every week, every Tuesday. And then the pandemic hit. I stopped. And then, Santa Cruz.
The first time I ever performed at your house was that first Comedy Wham show when the pandemic started. And me, you, and Lando were on that Zoom comedy show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was the first time I ever had performed at your house, like, because I didn't want to, me and Lando didn't know how to do no
Zoom, right?
Yeah, it was like, I don't understand this. So, and I hit you up, Lando hit you up, and we're like, can we come to your house? And you're like, fuck it.
Don't glad Zoom shows have gone.
So glad.
That shit.
So glad. But yeah, that's the first time I performed on your stage. And it was just like, it was a Zoom show, but it was you and Lando in there. And then the three of us each went up and did our thing. And then it was like, get the fuck off this Zoom.
Yeah.
So continue. I'm sorry, not to interrupt.
Yeah. So I was throwing a show at my house every Saturday. And it was kind of like building like a following to where now like people are hitting me up. Is your house show going on Saturday? I'm like, nah, I'm going to chill for a bit.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of cool. I had this theme where I would, like, order pizza and try and get the pizza.
When did that start? When did this pizza show start?
So, I just did a regular comedy show at my house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first one after I started again because of the pandemic.
Right.
And then afterward, I was like talking to an audience member and some stand-up comedian. We just smoked weed, you know, and then talk about shit. And then the audience member kind of came up with like the idea. After that, we just talked about the idea to a point where like, you know what? I'm going to do it.
And it's the wildest shit, y'all. It's the wildest shit. Ty has the stage and it's set up in his living room. So if you walk into Ty's house, you open the door, the stage is directly in front of you. And then he's got a nice size living room, stairs to go up, and he's got like, you know, enough room to fit, what, 20 chairs or so. And then you got the couches and stuff set up. You got space in the kitchen. And what he does is he has a show and he orders pizza from three different pizza places, has it delivered, And when the delivery guy comes to the door, Ty opens the door and tries to convince them to come on the stage while the show was going on, to convince them to come on the stage and just tell a joke. And the shit is wild, legit wild. Yeah. I enjoyed myself. But the idea came up and you said, fuck it, we're just going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. When I have an idea, right, and I'm excited about it, I know that I have to do it right away before it loses momentum.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so, and then the rest is history. You've been hitting the ground with this. How many times have you gotten a delivery person to get on stage and tell a joke?
Let me see. I said five.
Five?
Yeah.
Out of how many shows?
Out of, I think I've thrown 8 show at my house since just 8 shows. So I was running it for 2 months, like, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So November and December, maybe.
Okay.
I don't recall. No, I was running before that because I had a showdown Halloween too. Yeah, so I don't know.
But you've had 5 delivery people get up on stage and tell
5 or 6.
5 or 6?
Yeah. I remember, like, pretty much most of them, because every time is so memorable.
Mm-hmm.
So first time was, like, a kid, right? Like, very young, like, talking about in his 20s or maybe even younger. He went up, and his joke is very basic. He said, why did the chicken cross the road? To get away from Chick-fil-A. And everybody just went crazy.
I believe it. Because it's, yeah. No, that's like the feeling. Because like when I was at the show,
yeah.
Every time the door knocked, yeah. There was that anticipation
in the air. Right?
Like everybody, even the people on stage, they stopped with the anticipation. Like, is this shit going to happen right now?
Yeah.
Is he going to do it? Like everybody kind of has that anticipation. And for that. So when I was there, we didn't get anybody up.
Yeah.
But I can imagine like because you guys were haggling the shit haggling out of that one dude trying to get him on. And we're all sitting there like, is this shit going to happen?
Yeah.
Is this dude going to get, and we're all like, this shit happens.
Yeah.
It's on. Yeah. So like, I can only imagine like the anticipation when it actually does happen.
Yeah.
Like it's a pop. It's a big pop.
Dude. We even got a guy that doesn't even speak English. Yeah.
You're doing it in Spanish?
Yeah. So, because one of the comedians speaks Spanish, Leonardo Joni.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, she spoke Spanish. She got him on stage, right? And he don't know any jokes, so he sang a popular Hispanic song. And to my surprise, the audience knew that song. I never heard this song before, and they were clapping to it.
Oh, yeah?
So, he sang that, and then he got off the stage.
Did you tip him?
Yeah, I tip them.
Do you tip more when they tell a joke?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Like, I always tip on the app. Like, mm-hmm. I tip, like, from $5 to $7.
Right.
Yeah. But when they do a joke, I give them $20.
See, you should put that in the notes.
Oh, yeah?
You know, because there's that section for notes when you order online.
Yeah.
And be like, a potential $20 tip when you get here.
Yeah.
That way they know that, like, yo, there's a chance I can get $20 off of this shit, too.
Yeah.
That might entice them a little bit. Like, what I got to do for $20? If I got to show somebody my dick again, fuck it. I'll do it for that. Yeah. What's more satisfying to you? Performing or recording your special at the Paramount or getting a delivery person to tell a joke on stage in your house?
What's more satisfying?
Yeah.
I would say the Paramount because, you know, it's something that's like harder to do.
Mm-hmm.
The pizza thing is kind of easy now that you think about it. It's like not that stressful.
Yeah, but in order for that to happen,
yeah,
you had to build a stage,
yeah,
and a backdrop,
yeah,
get people to come to your house,
yeah,
put on comedy shows at your house,
yeah,
and then order pizza and convince somebody to get on the stage that you built in your house for the audience that you brought to your house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it. I mean, that's
okay.
Not everybody can do that.
Yeah. So the thing was, right, why is because the Paramount only had one shot. Now, if I get to do the Paramount every time, then it wouldn't be as scary.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, but my house, like, I had experience because I had shows there. I was doing open mic there. So, you know, I was kind of nervous starting it again, this show at my house. But after I started, like, every week people came. So I was like, oh, okay. It's like, so I had experience rather than just jumping it in cold.
Facts, okay.
Yeah, so to somebody else that sees it from, like, outside view, they think, oh, that's crazy. This guy's crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
How do you answer that question?
Honestly, are you fucking crazy, Ty?
I try to think different. Like, I try to think outside the box. Like, I try to do things that, you know, other people aren't doing. So, if that's crazy, then I guess I'm crazy.
What is Rainbow Brain Skull?
Rainbow Brain Skull? It's like art made by this comedian named Raymond Nazer.
Uh-huh.
And he's like an OG Austin stand-up comedian that I look up to when I first started. Because he had a stand-up special at Cap City in the Big Room. So before I even started doing stand-up comedy, I watched his special like over and over again. And he make art and stuff. And his art is very popular.
Okay.
I think his art talk about people's subconscious, tapping to their subconscious. But he make it in like a cartoony way that's not like preachy.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's one of the things. That's one of my favorite things about you, Ty. Like, I fuck with you heavy, mostly because you are so supportive of people. Like, you're one of the few people that I know in this town that, and it's not just recent, but it's always been this way that that you are always telling people to go check out other people's stuff. Yeah. You've always been very supportive of other artists doing things. It's not just comedy, but just art, hip hop, whatever. People are doing stuff. Like, if you go to your Facebook page, you're always bigging up somebody. You're always telling people to support this person or check out this person, check out that person. And that's one of the things that I love about you. It's one of my favorite things about you is that you are so supportive of other artists and other people doing their things. Have you always been like that? Or is that a lesson you learned along the way?
Always been like that. Like,
yeah.
Some stuff I say, oh shit, that's dope. Then I'll say,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, when I first got this chain, you were the first person. You were like, I got to take a picture of that chain.
Yeah.
Aaron Cheatham has the hardest chain in the gang.
Yeah.
I saw that post. I was like, fucking Ty is crazy. But it's like, you do that. It doesn't matter if it's big things or small things. You're always like supportive of people. And when you get into, you know, entertainment industry and shit like that, not everybody's that way. A lot of people are real cutthroat. A lot of people don't want to shine the light on anybody else, but that never seemed to be your problem. You always you're always willing to big up other people. And I want to tell you straight up, like, that's one of the things I love about you, dude.
Appreciate
like,
it.
You it doesn't mean shit to you to support other people. You know what I'm saying? You're like, you're like, yeah, fuck it. I dig that. Hey, y'all check this out. I dig that. I like that you do that, man.
Thank you.
For sure. And one thing you shared with me is your love of crypto. You're big into crypto right now still. Are you still big into crypto? Are you still doing that?
I still have investment, but I don't put enough energy into it, like attention into it.
Right.
So I'm just nothing is set. Like, right now I'm focused like just on comedy.
What?
Like,
do you understand NFTs? Because I've been trying to understand NFTs, and I've been waiting to talk to you to ask you if you understood fucking NFTs.
Yeah, I know about it.
Do you understand how they work? Because, like, so while I was gone over the holidays in December, like, I don't know how the relation works, but like a family member, his brother, is an artist.
Yeah.
And he made a big chunk of change off of, oh, I don't remember the name. It's something Mouse. Like, some rapper or somebody that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Was making an NFT and asked if he can use his signature in the NFT.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And he used the signature in this NFT. And then he ended up getting like a 6-figure check.
Yeah.
Off of that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't understand how the fuck. So it's basically, is NFT just basically like artwork that's digital? Is that basically what an NFT is?
It's not the artwork, but the digital certificate that's saying, hey, I am the owner of this. It's like a line of code that say, hey, he is the rightful owner of this. Could you have that NFT like in your phone and shit?
Uh-huh.
Unless you transfer it to somebody else. So it's like digital certificate that show that, hey, this is the right owner. Like he have this art for real. So it's more secure than like autograph or photos or shit like that. Like it can't be duplicated. So it's just a certificate that's hype is about.
So like if can only one person have an NFT to a, like so, if this was an NFT.
So
can me and you both have a certificate on this NFT?
Or? Yes. So the thing is, right, when an artist, right, they make an NFT, right? They make how many people could own that NFT. So they can make that, oh, only 100 people own this NFT. So those people would try and get it because they want to be like one of the 100.
So that's how the price is so high because everybody's kind of outbidding each other to get an yes. ownership of that thing?
Yes, exactly.
Oh.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's not real shit though. It's only digital shit. It's not like I can give you the, we all own this TV.
It's digital stuff. So it could also be a certificate for real stuff. Like if you sell a painting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want this person to own this painting to know that this is the real painting that you own. Like you didn't steal it. So that person turned that painting into like NFT and they sent you the NFT, which is a digital certificate saying, hey, I when the owners, I have the digital certificate.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I have a, you know, I'm not big into it.
Yeah.
Because I really don't see the value of it. I see the value of it, like, in other area, like real estate and stuff, showing like, hey, you own a house, is a digital certificate, way easier than doing all the fucking paperwork and stuff. You just need that one NFT. So I could see it, like, a car ownership showing that, hey, I own this car
mm-hmm.
way more easier than having a bunch of paper and
then
shit,
to have
right?
a fucking like a picture that you can show people on your phone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the part I didn't get was like, if you can't display it,
yeah.
then what's the purpose of owning it if it's not displayable?
Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing. But I guess people are into, you know, the digital aspect of it.
What do you think the next thing to pop is that's coming up that nobody's really talking about?
So people are buying land in the metaverse, which is like VR shit.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. So people are buying land on there.
How do you buy? Okay. So it's like digital.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that just be like a website then?
So no, how I see the metaverse is, right, it's like, you know how we log on Facebook mm-hmm. and we kind of have like our avatar, we post shit.
Right.
Imagine logging into Facebook as a character that can run around in the digital world and you have your friends there and shit. So you could do like digital stuff that you wouldn't be able to do.
So you can own like a spot of land in the metaverse that only people that you invite in can come in?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
And, so that's like a fucking chat room.
Yeah, it's like a chat room, but I guess people are trying to like sell a product in a different way.
You can make money off anything, I suppose.
Dude, I'm kind of scared of the metaverse. I feel like they're pushing this onto us. Like, do you Facebook?
Have you
and
done
Instagram.
It?
I haven't done it. I'm scared to go there.
I don't want
to
go there.
Yeah, I don't want to go there either. It's like, dude, real life is like, I'm already living in a metaverse. Why do I have to be a person there? So now I have to deal with my metaverse life and my real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened? Like, I'm the shit in my metaverse life, but in real life, I'm just. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got, you're a fucking nobody.
Yeah, so why do I want to go metaverse and then stunt? Have you seen the movie Ready Player One?
Yes.
I think. Like,
that's the metaverse, basically?
Yeah.
I like that metaverse. Movie. Yeah. I don't want to be in it, but I mean, the real world was shitty.
Yeah, the real world was shitty, right?
It was like trailers dystopian. Stacked on top of each other yeah. and shit. It was shitty.
Yeah. So I think the danger of the metaverse is you can get sucked into a metaverse to where like you don't care about stuff that's going on in real life. So real life is going to deteriorate while everybody's trying to get shit in the metaverse.
It's a distraction.
You know what I mean?
It's a distraction.
It's a distraction.
So that way, you know, because it's like your real world might yeah. be shitty,
yeah.
but there's somebody making money off of this and their real world
yeah.
is pretty fucking nice.
Yeah.
And they're kind of controlling and dictating the terms of your real life, but you don't give a fuck because you're in the metaverse.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you don't, it doesn't dawn on you that you're living seven trailers high.
Yeah. Because so crypto and NFT is going to be big in the metaverse. Because, like, when people give you an NFT, it's like a digital transaction.
Oh,
so they give it to a digital character.
Okay. So then if you're in the metaverse.
Yeah.
And you've got, you can display your NFT, which is artwork.
Yeah.
In the metaverse.
Yeah.
And then people know that's yours. Because you, okay, so that's where it makes sense to have a digital piece of art or whatever, because then you can put on a shirt for your avatar, or you can put it on, you know, if you buy a plot of land and you build a space, you can put and display that stuff inside there.
Yeah, so the metaverse is going to have its own government system, like the way things work. You know what I mean? There have to be rules in it.
All right, so if that does happen, like, we don't have to give a fuck though. We're living in the real world, right? Like, I don't really care what's happening in the metaverse because I don't intend on being in the metaverse. So, like, that means we can fuck their girls while they're in the metaverse, right?
Oh yeah, that'd be...
while those nerds are out there VRing it up.
I think gamers are gonna be big in the metaverse. People that's already into gaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, online gaming, VR, people that are already into VR, they're going to be into it.
This all seems real fucking fishy to me, Ty.
It's super fishy, especially with Facebook trying to jump on it.
You know, do you know Big Al?
Big Al,
Yeah, the comedian, Gonzalez.
I heard of him. I don't think we met.
So he started running virtual reality comedy shows out of Vegas like last year.
Yeah.
And then now he's moving it over to the metaverse.
Yeah.
Where like he's basically got a VR comedy club.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. It's crazy. Brett Ernst did it.
Yeah.
I think in like October, Brett Ernst did it.
Yeah.
End of October. Yeah. And he was saying it was trippy, but it was also like a lot of fun.
It's like, it's feel real. Like, I've done it and it feel like you feel
you
nervous.
Did a VR comedy show?
Yeah. Like, I strap into the VR and I was like a pixelated block character.
Yeah.
Like a Minecraft character inside a comedy club. And there's people in there that know each other, so they talk to each other and shit. When you go up there, it's real people reaction, people laughing and shit.
It didn't feel like you were doing a Zoom show?
It felt more real than a Zoom show. Like, way more real.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. And were you able to like interact with the audience?
They could hear me. I could hear them laughing and talking. But I didn't know anybody because like I don't know who they were, like behind their avatar. I don't know the real person.
But like, you know, we don't know the real people in the audience when we perform now. And if somebody says something, we can interact with them.
You can, yeah. But they quiet down when you tell jokes and shit.
Do they?
Yeah. Like, I just did like really dirty one-liner. So like I had some groans and some shit like that.
Huh. Would you do it again?
If they pay me, but I prefer real life. I'd rather go to an open mic than do a VR shit in front of a bunch of people, to be honest.
Say they give you 20 minutes VR or an open mic. Which one would you take? A live open mic. A live open mic versus 20 minutes VR.
A live open mic, for sure. Yeah, because VR is like... Well, VR is good to see if your jokes work like structurally because like they can't see you that much because you're a block character. You can't really like do facial expression. And they're just basing you off of like your jokes and your voice so they think about like who you are, you know? So, that's what I do in real life. I don't want to get sucked into that. I can see VR as being good for educational stuff.
Yeah.
Like, instead of teaching people through Zoom, you got hop inside digital world and you could show them example of like shit. You could just make like a board appear, a board, or like you can make stuff appear while you're teaching it.
Okay. Actually bring up videos of the back up what you're talking about and shit like that.
Yeah. So
that would, you know what? That would be cool.
That'd be cool, right? So it's a tool, right? And as a tool, you could use it for good or bad, but I think a lot of crazy stuff is going to happen because human, we're going to experience everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
there's going to be a dark metaverse.
Yeah. Maybe somebody trafficked people in the metaverse or some shit.
I stole your avatar. You
were trafficking. Yeah.
You got to pay me $20,000. You want to get your avatar back, homie?
People do that.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Is that where we're going now, you think? This is the direction we're going where we're going to start moving more to this digital virtual reality?
Dude, I think like with crypto and everything, here's how I knew crypto is going to be the future. Because 90% of the rich people own all of crypto.
Hmm.
So if crypto become a new currency, guess what? People are still going to be poor, the people that don't know. Like
the people that are late to the game?
Late to the game, or they're in the game, but there's like they hear so much bad news that they sold their bag. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, because like the price of crypto go up and down. It's very volatile.
So is it still worth getting into crypto right now?
Right now, it's very uncertain, so I wouldn't like advise anybody.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, I think it's good if you could like have money, throw it in there, and not check the news about it and wait like 5 years later.
5 years?
Or like 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
How long have you been investing in crypto?
Since the start. I was in stock since the start of the pandemic. I was putting into stock. And then from that, I moved on to crypto. So about a year and a half.
Did you start with Bitcoin?
I didn't buy Bitcoin. I bought Dogecoin and other coins. None of my holding are in Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the most solid one, but the other one have potential to like give you more gain. But they always have the potential to go zero, so it's more dangerous, riskier.
Got you.
Yeah.
Is it more volatile than like the stock market?
Yeah, more volatile.
I mean, but the stock market is made up too.
It's made up. Like
all of this shit is made up.
It's made up. Like human, we made up shit. That's why we have an influencer to influence people. Like stuff that we made up. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Now that we found out that money isn't backed by anything and they could keep printing it, which is another reason why people are buying Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is also like a made up thing, but we agree on it. So, yeah.
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 That's fucking nuts.
Yeah. Nothing is like feel real. Like even culture is made up.
Like we are already living in the metaverse. So why are we making another metaverse?
Yeah. Like me being Asian, you being black. That's right. Like living inside metaverse. It's really made up if you think about it.
Right. Because actually we're all fucking earthlings.
Yeah. Because it's made up because we made up country, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a piece of land, we put like perimeter around it. People that live inside a country, they just live amongst each other and they don't interact with other people.
Right.
So they become a race, a culture,
right,
a language.
Borders didn't exist until we made them.
Until we made them. So human life is made up.
The society that we live in right now is...
But the thing is, it became real once everybody agrees on it.
Facts. Yeah.
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 So your Christianity, your Christian life is real because everybody else around you agree on it. So
whether they disagree with your beliefs or not, they agree that it exists.
Yeah, yeah. So when you talk to them, they just kind of reflect your own belief.
Mm-hmm.
So you really don't know how much you believe in something until you move to like a different group and talk to them, see their perspective. You're like, oh shit.
Kind of like circling back
to
the beginning of this conversation when I asked you about if you would dress like a cholo if you lived in San Antonio. Depends on your environment.
Yeah, and depending what I'm influenced by. So I was wearing like baggy clothes because all I did was listen to hip-hop music. I was a hip-hop music producer.
Right.
I did that for a good portion of my childhood till I grew kind of like community college. I guess I kind of stopped when I was like 24 or 25, but I thought that was legit what I was going to do with my life.
What happened to you in community college? Everything changed. Everything changed for you in community college. Did you get snatched up?
Are you
a clone? Were you swapped out?
I guess my mind kind of opened up more into like how like everything in society is like control. So in community college, I was really into conspiracy theory,
mm-hmm,
about the Illuminati and shit.
Yep.
Yeah. And I have a black friend who is my best friend. He always like let me watch or documentary on YouTube, mm-hmm, about how like evil white people are enslaving black people and shit. I didn't have any white friend for like a long time until I started doing stand-up comedy.
Till you met Chris Castles?
Not really. I was cool with other comedian. Like it gave me a chance to interact with white people. And I guess it showed that, oh, they're just normal people. They're not evil and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But before that, I really didn't fuck with white people. Cause it's a subconscious belief that's like, you know, I wouldn't like talk to a white person and be like, you're evil. But my mind is like, it's subconscious. So I'm not aware of it.
In the back of your mind, you're going to crack a motherfucker.
It's so like, even in the back of my head, it's like so like subconscious where, you know how like when you step on land, right? You step on foot, you don't have to think about it. It's already there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So you just walk knowing that you won't fall down. So it's kind of like that. It's stuff that you have to like really dig deep to uncover.
For instance, because I was thinking about this yesterday with my kids. Like if I was to every day just slap my son in the forehead, yeah, and my daughter watched every day me slap him in the forehead.
Yeah.
Eventually, she would just start slapping him in the forehead.
Yeah, that's true.
Not
yeah.
because she thinks less of him,
yeah,
but that's what she's seen. That's normal. That's what she's seen done. So subconsciously it's put in her head that, yeah, you're supposed to slap him. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, she's not going to think anything of it. It's not going to be wrong or right. It's just a thing because it's in her head that she sees him get slapped every day.
Yeah.
Then we slap him every day.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with race and all of these different ideologies about people.
Yeah.
You know, like whether right or wrong, but it's all based upon what your perception
yep.
of that group is
mm-hmm.
and whether you've been exposed to them or not.
Yeah.
When you do encounter them, because you've seen this is it. It's not even something you think about. You just know.
Yeah.
Oh, like somebody could come here from Germany. In fact, I've heard a story. Somebody came from Germany, like an immigrant from Germany in like the 40s or whatever, moves to New York City and they get a business and all that stuff, but they wouldn't serve black people.
Yeah.
They had never encountered any black people, had any interactions with them in Germany.
Yeah.
But they saw the way that black people were treated here.
Yeah.
And they immediately treated black people the same way everybody else did. And the black people were like, you just got here. We've been here.
Yeah.
How you get the loan for this place and how you going to treat me like this
yeah.
when you're the new person? Yeah. But that's what they saw. That's what they knew. Yeah. So they didn't think they were being racist. They were just doing what they saw
yeah.
as a society was done.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what we're talking about here. So
yeah, it's like a lot of subconscious shit. To the point when I think if you go to Vietnam and you're like a white person, you kind of depend where you are, right? Like if you're in like a very Catholic like city that believe in like Jesus and stuff, in Vietnam there's like city where it's like very Catholic to the point where you think they worship like Jesus the way Mexican do, meaning they have statue like everywhere. Every yeah. house have big statue and stuff. Have you seen that?
In Vietnam?
Yeah.
Okay.
In this
I didn't
city
know,
that I was like born and raised in, it's called Binh Hoa in Vietnam. It's mostly like Catholic and shit.
Really?
Yeah. So every house you go to, so many like an obsessive amount of statue of Jesus.
I assumed it was all like Buddhism over there.
Nah, that's another different faction.
No shit.
Yeah. But that's another Buddhism too. But mostly it's like a different type of God. It's like folklore, like religion. That's most of it. But where I'm from is like a lot of all Catholic. Yeah, so they would live in like the same area too. Yeah, to the point where it's like, you know how like all the statue of Jesus were like white and shit mm-hmm. and all the painting and stuff? Dude, that's a conspiracy theory that my homie told me. They do that to make white people seem superior, so they get treated better because they look like Jesus.
Well, yeah.
You think that's true?
Yeah. Well, you know what I think is true? Is
to the point where he told me, like, if a white person get hurt in Vietnam, people would go save that white person. But if a Vietnamese person get hurt, then it's just normal. They wouldn't do anything.
They say that history is written by the victors.
Yeah.
And so if you're the ones writing the books and telling the stories
yeah.
and passing it down, you can make it look like whatever you want. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if you're the one that's got the ink and you're the one that's writing the story and putting it out there,
yeah.
why would you make it look like somebody else?
Yeah.
You know, of course they're going to make Jesus white.
Yeah.
And if you look at geography,
yeah.
ain't no fucking way Jesus was white.
Yeah.
You know, where they're in that part of the country or the world,
yeah.
people naturally aren't born with that skin tone,
yeah.
with that hair. You
yeah.
know, they're going to look more like me or more like somebody from the Middle East. He's going to look more like an Iraqi person or something like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're going to have dark. He's going to be darker. He's going to have coarser hair because that's what you find there.
Yeah.
Right. To think that Jesus was this dude walking around looking like goddamn Matt Damon.
Yeah.
That's fucking preposterous.
Yeah.
But they've put that out there and it's been believed for centuries.
Yeah.
You know, and people just went along with it. Yeah. Just went along with it. But at this point, like everything else we said, it's all fucking made up.
It's all made up.
I'm not saying Jesus is made up, but it's all made up. You know what I'm saying?
It's all made up. I think if Jesus exists, he wouldn't want it to be in the Bible. Like, his stuff is so different from everything else in the Bible. You just read about his part in the Bible, it's different from all the crazy shit, Revelation, and all the other shit about God sacrificing his son and stuff.
Yeah.
None of that was the stuff Jesus was talking about anyway.
Yeah, he was spitting that real love shit.
Yeah, yeah. To where he don't want any of his shit written down. He was just draw stuff in like the sand. But he don't want like people to like, he knew that people were going to fuck it up.
Which they did.
Yeah, so anything written is not by him. So it's by
That's why they have the people. Book of Matt, the book of fucking Mark.
Yeah, yeah, and they just threw all that in there.
Yeah, that you have nothing in the Bible is Jesus writing. It's always somebody else's account of what Jesus said.
Yeah.
Never Jesus going, hey y'all, so this is what you gotta do.
Yeah.
He never did that.
Yeah. The thing that he did do was write in the sand. Like that's what he was known
and
for.
He spoke.
Yeah, and he spoke. Yeah.
It was all verbal.
Yeah.
It's all verbal. Ty, this has been a dope ass convo, bro.
Oh, thank you. It went from FUBU to
That's what we do.
Society brainwash.
You know what? What time? Yeah, that's what the fuck we do. Real talk, we can keep going on this shit. But we can't have people listening to this shit for fucking 3 hours. Or can we?
Turn into a conspiracy theorist. Turn it into a QAnon.
Here's the thing.
But that's a dangerous side of conspiracy theory, though.
Absolutely. Like, like you just said, look at QAnon. Look at how crazy that shit got. Look at January 6th last year.
Yeah.
That's the dangerous side of conspiracy theories when people believe shit to the point that they act on it.
Yeah.
And they don't they haven't done the research.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. To me it's like, you know, you could even believe in it. I'm cool with conspiracy theories. But if you're acting a way that hurt people, then you're just like the people that you're conspiring against.
Yeah. You're no better than the people.
Yeah, you're creating your own tribe of people with your own belief and then you act out on it.
Absolutely. No, yeah. It's okay. Like I've been I don't want to say a conspiracy theorist, but I mean, like, this show started based off of Gray Area was started by all of these conspiracy theories and wanting to, like, talk to people and get their point of view and have conversations with people that believe shit that may be contrary to what we believe.
Yeah.
You know, hell, me and Chad didn't believe the same shit.
Yeah.
You know, we were aligned on some things.
Yeah.
But that was the whole purpose, so that we can have conversations that with people that have contrary perspectives and find that middle ground or even just to under like I got into QAnon when it very first started not because I believed it but when I found out like yo there's a lot of people that believe this shit well I want to know what they're saying so that I am aware for awareness sake and I wanted to know about QAnon and so I started following that shit started keeping up with it and you know some of the shit made sense a lot of it was bullshit
Some of this shit is like kind of true. So that's why they have like a string to pull on with the Jeffrey Epstein and shit.
Right.
Right. That's like, that's kind of like this shit is like about. It's like.
I had a guy that, an older dude that I used to work with. We just like reconnected on Instagram a couple weeks ago. And last week he sends me just randomly, he sends me a video, like a link to a podcast. And it's all. Trump has the answers. COVID's on the way out, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and I'm like, immediately, I'm like, oh, okay, he's on that shit.
Yeah.
But I watched it.
Yeah.
And I watched it because I want to know what people are saying. So I'm aware. You know what I'm saying? That's, I don't want to get caught with my pants down.
Yeah.
You know, where if shit pops off and it's like, everybody's like, like when January 6th happened, people were like, how? I didn't even know. It was like, oh, you didn't see this coming?
Yeah.
You know, so, and it's like an hour long podcast. And the first part of it was a lot of stuff about the pandemic and the medicines and all this. And I'm like, I've heard a lot of this stuff before. And this is kind of like reinforcing things that I've heard from other sources that weren't this. So when you start hearing things from different sources, then you're like, there must be some smoke there. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, that's cool. And I'm like, all this stuff about the medicines and the vaccine. Okay, I get it. But then if flips from that to, and with all these facts we presented to you, this is why January 6th didn't happen the way it is. Like, hold on, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, it went from like dropping like, you know, some level of knowledge about COVID and vaccines to January 6th was a hoax. And it was like, how the fuck? But there are people that believe all that stuff.
Yeah.
That believe that COVID is a hoax, the vaccine is a hoax, January 6th didn't happen.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that believe that shit.
Yeah.
And for people who, like myself or you, it's like, if you don't know that they exist or what it is exactly that they believe, then you are making, you're passing judgment on people without having any knowledge of where they stand or what they really stand for.
Yeah, I can see why people believe in QAnon and Trump. But the danger of that is you're repeating the same cycle, which is putting all your hope in one person.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like putting all your hope in Obama, you're putting your hope on a system.
Yeah.
So I see Trump more than a person. He's like a system.
He is
a system of beliefs. Like
he's risen above just being a person now.
A person, yeah. He's you like a
now they say things like Trumpisms. Yeah. You know, or you're a Trumpist, or now it's grown beyond that, and that's dangerous.
Yeah, I think it's dangerous when you put all your power and faith into one human being when all that should be in you. Because you became like a more powerful person, then the people around you is going to be better, right? Because you're killing it, then the people around you is going to feel better,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because I don't understand people doing that. I guess I do understand why people do that, but if like believe in one person or put their hope into one person that this person is going to change life for me.
Yeah, they're not going to do shit.
No.
Like, every time there's an election, people get excited and stuff about this, that. And guess what? Even when the election passed, your life is still the same.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you weren't a person that's like was doing stuff for yourself.
I learned that the hard way. The first time I voted,
I voted for
Bush the first time I voted. My first chance to vote, it was 2000. Mm-hmm. And it was Bush and what fucking Dan Quayle, I think.
Yeah.
And or was it Dan Quayle or Al Gore? Either way. It was a shitty choice.
Shitty choice.
But
right.
For me, at 18, was I 18? Yeah, I was like 18. For me, I was like, Bush is from Texas.
Yeah.
He gonna take care of Texas.
Yeah.
Ignorance, right? So I was like, I'm voting for George Bush because he's gonna take care of Texas. He's from Texas. We're gonna be doing good out here.
Yeah.
And that was mad ignorant.
Because
he doesn't give a fuck about Texas. He's the president now.
Yeah.
He's thinking about other he ain't give a fuck about that. He didn't give a fuck about us when he was the governor here. Yeah. I didn't know that at the time.
No.
I was like, I put my faith in this dude who's from a place that I'm from.
Yeah.
And that's ignorant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And at that point, it's like, yo, I can't rely on a politician to make my life better.
Hell no. Because, like, to me, it's like, no matter who you vote for, it's like, no politician affected my life personally, like, no matter who won. Yeah.
No, but you said it, though. Once you start putting that power on yourself.
Yeah. Then you, like, no matter, it's like, you know, the system changed, but you have power. Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like power that you build from within.
Right.
Yeah. So you can just adapt.
Because you're giving your energy to somebody else.
Yeah. So you're sitting home waiting for this person to become president and your life will get better. And when they become president, guess what? What's next?
Nah. And then you're waiting for this person to say the thing that's going to make you move, to leap into action.
Yeah.
When instead of giving that person that power and that energy, you should put it in yourself.
Yeah. I think the best thing anybody could do is like really pursue their dream, be their own creator. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't work for nobody else. Figure out a way to work for you.
Yeah. And, you know, you got to understand that people are going to be vulnerable. Like, when you have a business, people need jobs. It's like, most of the people are vulnerable.
Most people are. Most people are sheep.
We start out as vulnerable and sheep. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how we learn stuff. Like, we're like, oh, shit.
Following your parents.
Yeah, or like superhero, like LeBron James or any.
Don't follow LeBron James.
Yeah, but you see what I mean, like LeBron James, Michael Jordan. People still worship Michael Jordan.
Thank God Charles Barkley came out and said, "I ain't no role model."
Yeah,
you know, it was like that honesty. That's why I fuck with Charles Barkley.
Yeah,
because he came out when I was young. I ain't no role model. You children shouldn't be looking up to me. They should be looking up to you.
Yeah, that's why I don't even want people to look up to me. You know?
Right.
Yeah, because it's kind of put under pressure and like, shit, I fucked up. I make mistakes.
Man, as a father, let me tell you, it's hard enough just trying to live a life for my kids to live up to me. I don't know why anybody would want a whole generation of people to look up to them.
Yeah.
It's hard enough just trying to set an example for my two kids.
Yeah.
Let alone for thousands of other people and their kids.
Yeah.
Nah, man, just take care of you. Take care of you. Do you live the best life you can?
Yeah.
And set an example for your tribe. And when I say your tribe, I mean your children, your family, your people around you.
Yeah.
You know, don't try to influence the world.
Yeah.
Even though I'm sitting here on a podcast reading ads for fucking shit that I want people to go check out and whatnot. Like, but honestly, like, you got to do you.
Yeah.
You got to do you. And if people want to follow you, if you live a life that people want to follow, then that's good, but don't do it so they follow you.
Yeah. Yep. Then you're just making up stuff to appease to them.
That's right.
And that's what politicians do.
Motherfucker. Ty Wynn, thank you for coming on The Gray Area, brother. I appreciate it. Where can people find you if they're looking for you?
They can find me on Instagram, Ty Nguyen with a Z at the end. And you can check out my stand-up comedy special, Pigeon Confetti, at thaicomedy.com.
Appreciate you coming on. And as always, guys, you can follow me at _AaronCheatham on both Instagram and Twitter. And follow the podcast at Podcast The Gray Area on IG and Podcast Gray Area on Twitter. All that shit's going to be changing soon, though. But if you want to jump on the bandwagon now before it all flips, you're more than welcome to. But for sure, if you want to keep up with whatever we're doing, you can always follow me _AaronCheatham. And until next time, thank you guys for being here. Please be kind to each other. Take care of one another. And here's mud in your eyes.
Thanks for listening. You can find more episodes and all of our other Hot Pie Media originals baked fresh daily at our home online at hotpiemedia.com, the Hot Pie Media YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.